a culture in which authority must be followed unquestioningly. No details other than those which are part of one's orders are allowed to be known. Grove says, quote, "You're on the internet, moving your cursor around almost as seamlessly as if it were your finger. A hyperlink shows up and you click on it. But the thing about the double click when you follow that link is precisely the way that hyperlink works. It's intended for you to forget, for you to be incapable of knowing what came before it. How did you get from point A to point B? Why did you choose that particular link? We have a particular kind of technology here, which by definition reads a kind of forgetting, a kind of not knowing, and a kind of thoughtlessness," he says, end quote. In other words, there are inherent properties of the technology which prevent the dots from being connected into a holistic whole. Now, that's great for command and control in war, but it's a disaster for critical thinking and human civilization. Grove widens the metaphor of curated experience from mere internet surfing to include the zero-sum game logic that drives the pursuit of hegemony at the global scale. Zero-sum game means only the stories of certain people and places can remain in full view at the expense of other people and places who are invisibilized. The dichotomy of Israel and Palestine is a perfect example of how an elaborate narrative is of Israel's history, showcasing the Holocaust and the escape from anti-Semitism, is well established in the collective consciousness, while the story of Palestine has been all but erased. The stilted curation in the Western media has continued throughout the many months of genocide. Genocide, it's a word, it's not even allowed to be uttered in the mainstream media. I mean, you can say the seven dirty words canonized by George Carlin, but you can't say genocide. Imagine. Now, that is invisibilization. The most existentially crucial invisibilization by digital tech is that of the natural world. Digital technologies operate unbounded by time or geography. Rather, they're a function of topology, which flouts the authority of time and space, the very currency of the natural world. Geographies and cycles comprise the operating system for the intricate web of life. The seasons, the ebb and flow of tides, sunrise, sunset, systole and diastole, countless other rhythms. We ignore them at our peril. Sacred cycles and places have been scripture since time immemorial for indigenous societies, instructing when and how to plant, to fish, to harvest, to give birth, to bury one's dead. But the inherently invisibilizing properties of digital technologies run roughshod over these ancient guideposts. Algorithms trample constraints of season or space, working ceaselessly 24/7 to buy and sell on world stock markets, to secure deals, to cut down forests, extract commodities on all continents and seabeds, till agrochemical farms with satellite-driven robots, and displace traditional sustainable communities which had survived for millennia due precisely to their respect for cycles and geographies. Nature may hold no currency in the digital realm, but Mother Earth bats last. When a civilization embraces a technology that flouts nature, it's doomed. So fast forward to today, 2024. It's been 40 years since my year with the computer science nerds and trillions of American tax dollars into research and testing for missile defense. We're now living a nightmare that was once only a vision on the drawing boards at Carnegie Mellon. The escalating bloodbaths in the Middle East are real. This is the same missile technology that has been installed throughout Asia and the Pacific in preparation for war with China, another self-fulfilling prophecy. In fact, the wars in the Middle East and Ukraine are the unregulated testing grounds to develop protocols to be used in a wider high-tech war with China. With that in mind, I've been paying special attention to the Iron Dome's effectiveness in deflecting attacks from Hezbollah and Hamas. In April, you'll recall, Iran and Hezbollah fired hundreds of missiles and drones at Israel. 99% of all those attacks were intercepted. It was ostensibly a testament to the superior technology of lead manufacturer Raytheon, or so the story goes. What the Western media didn't reveal, what it had double-clicked past, was that this was actually a tactical victory for the Iranians. Iran had made the calculated decision to cast as many projectiles at Israel as possible, not to necessarily penetrate its elaborate defense system, but rather to deplete the arsenal and consequently topple Goliath by his own weight. At that, they succeeded brilliantly. Estimates of how much the U.S. and Israel jointly blew through that night ranged from $1 billion to a whopping $4 billion in a few hours. It was like smashing a roach with a Rolex. I mean, to boast about Iron Dome's effectiveness in those terms is like lighting money on fire and bragging about how bright it is, to quote the blogger Indrajit Samarajiva. The story shifted after Iran's more recent attack on October 1st. It was not necessarily intercepted by Israel. Iran fired approximately 200 missiles. A key Israeli airbase was struck. They were not the short-range Hamas-style rockets. These were sophisticated ballistic hypersonic missiles. Hypersonic missiles cruise above the atmosphere undetected and then shoot down from high in the sky at a very steep angle, often in erratic movements that make them impossible to intercept because their trajectory is unpredictable. I repeat, there is no way to intercept a hypersonic missile. So regardless of the success rate of missile defense, there is no winning, even from a warmonger's point of view, because when interception is successful, it is a deep loss to taxpayers. $4 billion in one night, money that should go to education, healthcare, teachers, infrastructures, and other domestic needs, instead goes to replenishing costly interception missiles. In Asheville, North Carolina, where terrible floods and mudslides have struck, people are still pleading for help. This is where American taxes should be going, not to be replacing Israel's arsenal. And when interception is not successful, the loss is, of course, obvious. People are maimed and killed, towns are reduced to rubble, forests burn, and the conflict escalates. But either way, the AI designers and the missile manufacturers make out like bandits. All this spending on high-tech weapons, it reminds me of something that Jairus Grove told me. He said that the rush to replace human soldiers with missiles, drones, and robots was motivated by the goal of normalizing endless war and its continual profits. The logic goes, as long as there's no human casualties, there'd be no public pressure to end wars. Endless war means endless profits for Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, NVIDIA, and the whole band of sleazy thugs. These weapons were not developed for defense at all, actually. They were developed to incur profit. They involve highly sophisticated, very costly technologies with very high profit margins. The systems were sold without ever being tested, installed, and they never even worked. The idea of defense, it's an afterthought. As Julian Assange observed years ago about the war in Afghanistan, the goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries through Afghanistan and back through the hands of a transnational security elite. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have endless war, not successful war, end quote. The profound tragedy, of course, is that they're playing with thousands and thousands of human lives. Assange was speaking long before the Pentagon went full bore into AI, robotics, autonomous weapons, and Star Wars missiles. Now the money made off these new high-tech weapons make the $2 trillion spent on tanks and choppers deployed in Afghanistan over 20 years look like peanuts. Missile defense may be the biggest, longest running, most morally bankrupt public scam in human history. The algorithms that it sired have been a scourge on Mother Earth and our own humanity. With our smartphones, satellites, robotics, AI, nuclear power, and all the rest, civil society has unwittingly become militarized through and through. But along with all this dubiously impressive technology, missile warfare has accelerated the franchising of carnage overseas as systematically as it has vaporized the tax base at home. Thank you.
You were just listening to Kuhan Pakmander on algorithms, digital technologies, and warfare. Kuhan Pakmander is a journalist, author, and peace and environmental activist. This program is produced by Alternative Radio. We're an independent nonprofit in our 39th year. We're supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature such voices as Francesca Albanese, Naomi Klein, Chris Hedges, and Arundhati Roy. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. For copies of today's program, Kuhan Pakmander on algorithms, digital technologies, and warfare, and for Noam Chomsky's classic book, Letters from Lexington, Reflections on Propaganda, just call us 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. Or online, our website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org. PDFs and MP3s of this program are free of charge. Just call us 1-800-444-1977. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
just under your name, I carry a picture. It's just not the same. Cut so clean with precision, like you would have done if you'd wielded a chisel instead of the gun. Heard the pleas of your country, answered the call, put your plans in suspension for the great and the small. I never truly did thank you, I hope you could tell. When I looked on in wonder, you walked straight into hell. Stories of valor have been told all around. There are many brave soldiers in this hallowed ground, but only you are my brother. You are older than me. I stand in your shadow in the land of the free. Can see the model to live by given to me, a lifetime to remember how you gave it all for an ungrateful nation and your name on the wall. Stories of valor I've been told all around. There are many brave soldiers in this hallowed ground, but only you are my brother. You are older than me. I stand in your shadow in the land of the free. I stand in your shadow.
Good evening. You're listening to 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, and this is Joe's Garage. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Hope you're having a great start to your week. WRCT is supported by Row House Cinema. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater in the historical Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme ranging from classic cult, foreign animation, fantasy, and more. Their concession stand features natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer, an adjoining bottle shop next door, and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, you can visit their website at rowhousecinema.com or give them a call at 412-904-3225. Row House Cinema, proud sponsor of WRCT Pittsburgh. All right, getting into the tunes here on Joe's Garage, I have Weezer off the Blue Album on the way. We're going to be starting something off tonight with a country artist, classic country artist, but a young fella named Charlie Crockett. This is the title track off his album, $10 Cowboy. Keep it tuned in here, Joe's Garage.
Thank you.
that's a fact. I got some inhibitions that might be holding me back. I've been seeing this portrait attached to a small fee for a $10 cowboy who looks a lot like me. If you're a $10 cowboy, then you already know that there never was a rider who couldn't be thrown. Even Billy McLean fell off a time or two. He was a $10 cowboy who looked a lot like you. I'm a $10 cowboy, I play a little guitar. People always ask me if I'm a rodeo star. Doubt if I got 8 seconds, but I can sing you a song. Like a big bull rider, I'm steady holding on. The $10 cowboy, he leads a colorful life. Don't you worry about him, he knows he only died twice. Like Billy McLean, he's the last of his breed. He's just a $10 cowboy who looks a lot like. Street corners, learning to stand behind this guitar. $10 was a whole lot of money. Cowboy, cowboy singer, both highly hazardous occupations. Look out.
has turned and left me here. Weezer off their Blue album. Starting things off, we had Charlie Crockett, an up-and-coming artist with a classic American country sound. That was the title track off of his album, $10 Cowboy. You're listening to Joe's Garage on 88.3 WRCT. What makes a community vibrant? Welcoming public spaces in every neighborhood, clean air and water for all residents, good jobs and a strong local economy. What do all these have in common? Trees. If you support a healthy community and a thriving economy, then you are for urban forest advocacy. This message is brought to you by the Sustainable Urban Forest Coalition, the U.S. Forestry Service, and your tree-hugging friends here at WRCT Pittsburgh. All right, getting back to the tunes on Joe's Garage, I have some Ramones on deck. Also be taking a listen to Iggy Pop and the Stooges. Got a classic track from them to come. But we're starting things off with a group known as the Head Coatees with their song Davy Crockett. Keep it tuned in here. Joe's Garage.
I'm She is a punk rocker. She is a punk rocker. She is a punk rocker.
Iggy Pop and the Stooges, Gimme Danger. You're listening to Joe's Garage on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. Hey, what's better than an hour of classic and traditional blues music? How about 2 hours? The Deep Blues Hour. Join Steve every Friday starting at 3 p.m. to 5 for 2 hours of classic and traditional blues music. Only here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Getting back to the tunes on Joe's Garage, I have a group from Australia on the way, a punk rock group known as The Chats to come. But first, wanted to get a little funky with some things here. I will be playing an R&B soul group, real popular in, well, late 60s and 70s, by the name of the Honey Drippers. Keep it tuned in here. Joe's Garage.
Thank you.
Australian-based surfer punks, The Chats, with their song Left Right. You're listening to Joe's Garage on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. Court's in session. Join your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie, for 2.5 hours of rock and roll, country, and soul, with a focus on new music by your favorite classic artists. Thursdays at 8 and re-airing every Sunday night at 11 p.m., only here on WRCT Pittsburgh. All right, getting back to the tunes on Joe's Garage. I have an MC5 track on the way. Also got At the Drive-In on deck. But first, we'll be taking a listen to a group known as Hines with their song Between Cans.
Nobody's afraid.
Drive-In there off their album Relationship of Command. That was One Armed Scissor. You're listening to Joe's Garage on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. Hope you're having a great start to your week. Couch dancing. Funky, deep, psychedelic, electronic music and that. Couch dancing with DJ Firefly Wednesday afternoons at 3 to 5 and re-airing at 5 in the morning Mondays only here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Or you can check her out at djfirefly.com. All right, getting back to the tunes on Joe's Garage. I have a Ween track on the way. Good old Pennsylvania, you know, local heroes there. We got a great song from them. Always been a big fan of Ween. Also have some Captain Beefheart and his magic band on deck, but wanted to do something a little different, a little new. This is an artist or group known as Castle Rat. They are a medieval kind of themed metal group. This is a song of theirs called Feed the Dream.